This is Jay Sekulow. A stunning development by the Obama administration's State Department and Israel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. I'm holding in my hand a copy of a lawsuit that's entitled American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of State. This case is a FOIA case, that's Freedom of Information Act case, involving this group called One Voice. One Voice, we have learned through our research, was an organization based in Israel and in the Palestinian Authority that was receiving money from our taxpayer dollars through the State Department grants. There was an issue raised early on in 2015, and that was a letter that was sent by the State Department. This is President Obama's State Department, from Julia Freifield, Assistant Secretary of Legislative Affairs. It was a letter that Senator Cruz had sent regarding U.S. taxpayer funding to the group One Voice. In the response from the State Department, it reads, "Let us first assure you there is absolutely no basis to the claim that the Department of State has funded efforts to influence the current Israeli election campaign." So this was, again, State Department dollars being used to influence election campaign. Then we received documents in our Freedom of Information Act request, including the U.S. Counselor General to the individual that's the head of One Voice, where they specifically said this, that our aim is to strengthen the bloc, and the bloc they're talking about is the center-left bloc, rather than any one party. In tandem, weaken Netanyahu and his right-wing partners by creating a rationale for a change in direction. We can embolden the leaders of the left to get their act together. That's in the actual document that went from the people at One Voice, Strategic Framework, to individuals at the State Department. So a completely false statement from the State Department. And again, I'm holding the letters, the documents in our hand of what we're getting, and here it is. So this is, again, your taxpayer dollars, our taxpayer dollars, being utilized for a political campaign to unseat Benjamin Netanyahu, the duly elected prime minister of the state of Israel. Now, let me take it a step further. And I go to Than Bennett, our director of governmental affairs, on this. Than, as I look at the situation and as we deal with the situation, this letter from Senator Cruz, the response of the State Department, is fundamentally false.
Jay, it's shocking. I mean, at the very best, they misled Congress or were negligent. And that is putting it as kindly as I can. I mean, we have pointed out on this broadcast before how U.S. taxpayer dollars were sent to One Voice for the purposes that they disclosed in their application, Jay. I think we need to say this very clearly. One Voice told the State Department what they were going to do with these funds. Inside that strategic plan that was attached to the application, they said that they would be used for campaign operations, and ultimately, of course, they were used against Prime Minister Netanyahu. But, Jay, this is why we team up with Congress on these issues. When Senator Cruz and Congressman Zeldin tried to get answers about that, this is the new information that we have today. A letter that came from the State Department to Congress that specifically told them that the claims that they would be used to influence the Israeli election were patently false. Jay, that was not true. So it was either a lie or they were negligent and did not thoroughly go through the application that was in front of them. This is a pretty earth-shattering development, in my opinion.
Well, this is exactly why you filed litigation on this, and we've been in court on this one because of the concern we have. I mean, it's abundantly clear when you look at this that the State Department misled Congress. But let me ask you this question, American people, listeners to this broadcast, those watching on Facebook or Periscope or TV, and that is, how do you feel about your taxpayer dollars being used to unseat a duly elected government in an ally country? We're taking your calls on that at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
That's right. Phone lines are open right now, like you said, at 1-800-684-3110. You can also join us broadcasting online on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. That's on Facebook Live, so you can see us, talk to us, be part of the conversation, get your questions and comments in that way. That's a great way to do it. We take some of those on the show and know that a lot of them are read. All of them are read, and a lot of them do make it on the air. We also don't take breaks online if you're watching online, so it's a great way to find us. But again, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard.
And don't forget also, in this One Voice, the senior advisor, Mahmoud Abbas's son. Not very political, right? All right, we'll take your calls, as Logan said, 800-684-3110.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So if you're just joining us, here's what's happened. Back in July of 2016, the American Center for Law and Justice Government Oversight Project sent a Freedom of Information Act request to the U.S. State Department on relevant components for records regarding grant funds awarded to a group called One Voice Israel and One Voice Palestine. This is from our letter. To summarize, the numbered requests contained herein seek any and all records pertaining in any way to the grant funds awarded to the U.S. Department of State by the U.S. Department of State to One Voice Israel and One Voice Palestine, where said organizations campaigned to, quote, take Netanyahu down in the 2015 Israeli election, seeking the election of anybody but Bibi. These are quotes. This request seeks all records indicating that what DOS officials knew about the plan, strategy, and activities of One Voice when the decisions to award the grant of funds were made, who was involved in the decisions, and how DOS, as Department of State officials, responded once the connection between the grant funds and the activities of One Voice were publicized. Now, we sent that letter, did not get an appropriate response, and we then instituted this. So that's the letter. This is the lawsuit. So we filed a lawsuit. In the context of the lawsuit, we get some correspondence. In that correspondence, again, for those just joining us, this is important, in emails that they produced pursuant to our FOIA request, there is a very clear statement about what One Voice was up to. So what makes this so unique, on February 23rd, 2015, the Department of the State, in response to Senator Cruz, sends out a note, thank you for your letter regarding U.S. taxpayer funding to the group One Voice. By the way, that's taxpayer funding, that's your money, my money. Let us first assure you that there's absolutely no basis to the claim that the Department of State has funded efforts to influence the current Israeli election campaign. So this was on February 23rd, 2015. On September 30th, 2014, in an email chain that we obtained through our FOIA request, there is a FOIA from a Michael Ratney to with the U.S. Consular General's Office to another individual. This is a look at the strategy. Now, Mahmoud Abbas's son is the senior advisor to this group. Here's what's in the documents that have been produced, okay? This is in the documents produced pursuant to our litigation. Based on the 2013 national election, independent poll, and other polling data, we have reviewed in preparation of this strategy, the so-called center-left has a credibility problem. Israelis don't trust it to lead the country. The bloc has not been able to unify around a common message, a common agenda, or a strong leader. Our aim is to strengthen the bloc rather than one party. In tandem, weaken Netanyahu and his right-wing partners by creating a rationale for a change in direction. We can embolden the leaders of the left to get their act together. So that $375,000 that the State Department said did not go into electioneering went exactly into electioneering of an ally of the United States. Skip Ash is a senior counsel at the ACLJ, charge of our international law group, does a lot of work in Israel. Skip, your reaction to this.
It's just insufferable. The government of Israel is a strong ally of the United States. We've just seen that recently in the speech that Prime Minister gave the other day about the Iran situation. So we have a situation where they're cooperating with us. They are working with us closely in the Middle East, trying to bring peace. And we had our previous administration was working directly and to subvert an ally while they were shaking hands and doing everything else with one hand. They were trying to subvert his government during the election with another. And the United States is above that. I cannot believe that we would be doing that to an ally, especially our closest and strongest ally in the Middle East. It is just absolutely a disgrace.
All right, I agree. And Skip, Than, let me go to you on this. And by the way, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I've got a new book out, by the way, on Israel. It's called Jerusalem, and it's available right now only through TBN. They've got it. We co-ventured with them, and there it is. But if you go to tbn.org, you can get it there. We'll have it available later in the summer. But they got the first run of this book, and I'm going to actually be on a special with Matt and Laurie Crouch. I think that airs. Logan, when is it there?
I know the exact date. Very soon.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's tomorrow.
And then you have another special going on next weekend.
Yes, I'm taping with Mike Huckabee on this week, and we're going to include the band in that tape. We're going to talk about the book. We're also going to have Mike Huckabee's going to be playing in the Jay Sekulow band. How about that?
That's one night only.
Huh?
One night only.
One night only. Unless he loves it. Our bass guitar player can also play acoustic. Anyways, so a lot of the questions that are going to come in, Than, we know already. So we found this. So what happens? Well, we're putting together reports now that we're going to send to the various committees. What's going to be Congress's reaction to this when they had that statement from the State Department saying, basically, well, there's nothing, you know, we didn't do any of that funding?
Well, first of all, I think they're going to be offended they were lied to, Jay, because remember, while the New York Times reported about the existence of this letter back in 2015 and that there may have been some indication that Congress was misled, Jay, we wanted to see the actual document. So now that we have the actual document in hand, and actually it's two of them. It's one is a letter to Senator Cruz. One is a letter to to Congressman Zeldin saying that there's no basis to the claims. What we will do, Jay, is compile a package to send to them to prove to them that that is factually incorrect. That's another way of saying they lied. Because, Jay, while you talked about the conversation between Michael Ratney and the U.S. Consul General in Jerusalem, which was offensive, if you rewind just a little bit ago, our FOIA found that the actual application to the State Department included a strategic plan that told the State Department that One Voice was going to do exactly what it did. So, you know, I think there's been some outcry at what One Voice did, and certainly there should be. But the greater outcry should be that the State Department was told by One Voice what they were going to do, and guess what? The State Department approved it anyway.
Well, here it is. I mean, here's the strategic. I'm holding the strategic plan. It's a lighting here. It's hard for you to see it, but there it is. This is not a hidden fact, by the way. This is right in their documents. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I want to know how you're reacting to all this, and I'm going to tell you exactly what we're going to do in a moment. But Logan, let's go ahead and grab a comment or a call, whatever you'd like to do.
Let's go to Chris in Reno, Nevada, online too. You're on the air.
Hey, Chris.
Hi. Obviously, this is troubling. My question is, what's the ultimate goal of the lawsuit? Is it to have somebody prosecuted or to get better vetting in the future?
Well, look, I say this often, we don't have the authority as a law firm or a public interest law firm to bring criminal prosecutions. That, of course, rests with the Department of Justice. So that's not what this is about. Here's what it's about. You get this information. You go to court. You get it. You compile it. We're compiling this into quarterly reports. We now take these quarterly reports and we distribute them to Congress, to all the relevant committees. Then I'll go over that in a minute and how this particular one would fold out. They now have information that they can use with the State Department to stop the funding in the future. So what you're doing is you're taking action to prevent a recurrence of bad action. So, Than, why don't you explain everything? I think it's important to explain to the relevant committees here that would be engaged.
Yeah, so the first tier would be Senator Cruz and Congressman Zeldin, who were engaged on this. The second tier, Jay, would be the Senate Committee on Homeland Security, chaired by Ron Johnson, who was already looking into these abuses. We want them to know that they have been lied to. And then, Jay, ultimately, the oversight that they will do, I think there will be a lot of tiers, but I think this is the one that we need to focus on the most. We want to know what officials at the State Department reviewed this application, because it had accurate information in it. Which officials reviewed this application and then ultimately approved approved it, because that sent U.S. taxpayer dollars for this purpose. And then, Jay, maybe here's the clincher question. Are those officials still at the State Department? Are they still processing applications? Are they still approving how our taxpayer dollars are used? If they are, Jay, I think that the Congress needs to step in and make sure that those people are removed.
All right. So, again, so you see what the direct action here is. But let me tell you the process again. It started with the demand letter, a Freedom of Information Act request letter. That letter looks like this. So that's a letter that we send to the various government agencies. We did not get a response that was satisfactory. We then initiate this. So I'm going to walk you right through the process here. This is the lawsuit. In that lawsuit, we request documents. Courts order the documents to be turned over. They did. That results in this, which is beginning of, this is just the beginning of this, by the way, of documents. And the first batch of these, or I think that maybe the second batch of these documents, actually disclose what the problem is, that in fact the strategic plan on taking down the Netanyahu government was in place when the State Department gave that grant of $375,000. And here's what I'm asking you. What is your reaction as the American people, or people around the world that are listening via Facebook and Periscope, to this kind of spending of your money to take down a government, an ally, no less? You're talking about election interference. There you have one. 1-800-684-3110. You want to take a call or a comment? We got a lot of both coming in.
Yeah, let's get a call still. Let's go to Tom in Connecticut on line three.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, Jay. Jay, the question isn't how do we feel about it, because, you know, we want to regurgitate over stuff like this. Where is the Congress? And, Jay, why don't we give the money to Israel to dole out to the Palestinians if they behave themselves? And that way it should work, right?
No, look, Tom, you raised two points. One is, but I do want to know how people react to finding out their taxpayer money is being utilized for these kind of things, because that helps us on Capitol Hill. But I think, look, I mean, the fact of the matter is, and Skip can address this, the tension points between the Palestinian Authority right now and Israel have basically reached what I call a stalemate, because the Palestinians have lost support within the region, specifically the Jordanians. We only got 40 seconds, Skip, but give us your sense of that.
Yeah, right now the Palestinians have refused and refused and refused to take any offers from the Israelis. They almost got 100% of what they wanted. They got 98% and refused that. So I think even their Arab allies are finally saying enough already. We're not going to support you anymore, because all you do is destabilize the region and you're not really interested in resolving the problem.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, another step further on this, and that is Saudi Arabia told the Palestinians better take the U.S. peace plan. So we'll talk about that more when we come back from the break. We'll take more calls as well.
That's right. You can give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org.
So a lot of movement on the Israel front. The new U.S. embassy in Jerusalem set to open May 14th. Also of note, Guatemala has begun to move its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And that's an important development. And I will also tell you this. Mahmoud Abbas. Now, Mahmoud Abbas is the leader of the Palestinian Authority. His son was the senior advisor to this group, One Voice. On April 30th, 2018, so just a couple weeks ago, President Abbas gave a hate-filled anti-Semitic speech in Ramallah, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem, in which he blamed massacres of the Jewish people in the Holocaust on Jewish, quote, usury and banks. That's what he said. He said Jews had suffered massacres every 10 to 15 years in some countries since the 11th century and until the Holocaust. He blamed the Jews for these massacres in the Holocaust, saying, they say hatred against Jews was not because of their religion, it was because of their social profession. So the Jewish issue that spread against the Jews across Europe was not because of the religion, it was because of usury and banks. This is a guy whose son is getting money on this one from you and me, from taxpayers. So there you have it. I'm just going to expose the evidence as it is. Res ipsa loquitur, the thing speaks for itself. There's their own words. Our director of policy, Harry Hutchison, is joining the conversation. Harry, your reaction to this?
Well, my reaction is twofold. Certainly with respect to President Abbas, it is clear that his words deserve the strongest condemnation possible. Secondly, they suggest that the United States should be reluctant to work with the Palestinian Authority. But beyond that, if we go back to the funding of the One Voice campaign, essentially designed to preclude Prime Minister Netanyahu from being reelected, we should note that that was a surreptitious program by the Obama administration. They kept their anti-Israeli bias hidden. However, in 2016, the United States refused to veto UN Resolution 2334, which suggested that Israel was an illegal occupier in much of the area around Jerusalem. And secondly, John Kerry said that Israel could not be both a Jewish nation and a democratic state.
Yeah, he thought they were mutually exclusive. You couldn't be a Jewish and democratic state.
Absolutely. So what?
Which is absurd. But
so at the end of Obama's term, he was open and obvious about his antipathy toward Israel.
So then, none of this is a surprise. Then,
absolutely
that under this administration.
Not. So
that
if we look back at the funding of the One Voice campaign, that represented the true intentions of the Obama administration. They wanted to conceal their anti-Jewish state, let me use that term, hatred.
Yeah. Skip, what's your sense of that? Because that's how I read it.
I read it exactly the same way. At some point in time, President Obama realized that there's strong support for Israel in the country. When he got beyond the last election he had to worry about, then his true colors began to come to the surface. And this is just one of them. But Harry's right. When they went to the UN and we did not stop that anti-Israel resolution, that's when we actually sold out Israel. And even President-elect Trump, tried to say, don't do this. Hold fast because a new administration's coming in. And the Obama administration went out doing that. And Israel is still suffering from the consequences of that decision on the part of the Obama administration.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're also taking comments on Facebook and Periscope.
That's right.
Luke, what do you want to do?
Let's just go ahead and keep taking calls. Let's go to Sahala, who is calling in California on line one. You're on the air, Sahala.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. I just wanted to make a few comments, actually, and I want to go back to just remind people that when Netanyahu did come to visit the White House when Obama was in office, that he was treated with the greatest amount of disrespect. I think they continued to have lunch and made him wait for over an hour. But I just really wanted, that was just something that I thought about, that just, you know, it really shows how they feel about Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu. But I wanted to point out that not only is this illegal, you know, as far as you were asking what our opinions are, not only is it illegal what they've done and what I believe is illegal behavior with this One Voice and the State Department, but you know, it's like their very own playbook. I think it's fascinating that not only did they try to interfere with the election over in Israel, but then they claimed when Trump was elected, they claimed interference here. And you know, it's interesting that Netanyahu has been plagued with the same corruption charges.
Well, let me actually read from the report, because I think it's important to see what the report actually says. This is the report that was produced by One Voice that was given to the State Department, and then they got their grant. Based on the 2013 national election independent poll and other polling data, we've reviewed in preparation for the strategy, the so-called center-left has a credibility problem. Israelis don't trust it to lead the country. This is the conclusion of One Voice. Our aim is to strengthen the bloc rather than any one party. In tandem, weaken Netanyahu and his right-wing partners by creating a rationale for a change in direction. We can embolden the leaders of the left to get their act together. That was the stated purpose then of this group spending the money. And then they built a political apparatus from additional grants and additional funds.
Jay, that was their strategic plan, and it was not a secret one. They gave it to the State Department and used that strategic plan as the evidence that they should be given U.S. taxpayer dollars. And shockingly, the U.S. government gave them taxpayer dollars for this purpose, Jay. So the best thing that the State Department can claim is that they didn't read the State Department plan. They just threw taxpayer dollars at it without evaluating it. Because, Jay, if they read it, then it means they endorsed this strategic plan, which was ultimately used to build the campaign apparatus to try to unseat the Prime Minister of Israel. It is just a shocking failure of duty inside the State Department.
So what we're doing is we're compiling the report. We're getting our responses from the Freedom of Information Act request. That will go to Congress. And you know what happens? They don't get any more funding. That's how this should go down. That's what should happen here. That should be the end result here, Harry, from a policy perspective, because people always ask what happens to this, is that the funding in the future stops. You're not going to be able to get back. In all probability, you're not going to be able to go back and get it, clawback, as we call it in the law, but you certainly can stop it going forward.
Absolutely, and it's important to note that One Voice, in some sense, represents Palestinian anti-Semitism. Perhaps the best evidence of that is that one of the most important discoveries that we have found is in the documents that we receive, was that the son of President Abbas was a senior advisor to One Voice Palestine. And so essentially, by supporting left-wingers in Israel, the Obama administration was supporting individuals who harbor, this is my opinion, of course, anti-Semitism deep in their heart.
Yeah, we're going to get into what all this means when we come back from the break. We're going to take more calls, but we're here. First 30 minutes is gone. Well, that was quick. So, Logan, what do we do next?
All right, if you want to join us for the next half hour and you don't get us on your local station, there's a lot of ways you can reach us. That's by joining us online at aclj.org, facebook.com/jseculo. Just go to see broadcasting on Facebook Live. You got Periscope. You got Twitter at jseculo. Get aclj.org on the ACLJ app as well. You can find its archive later on that ACLJ app, as well as on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. And some of your local stations do carry us, so just make sure. And also, if you listen and watch online, we don't go to break. We continue with either exclusive video content made just for you, or you continue the conversation.
All right, we're going to take more of your calls at 800-684-3110. We come back from the break. And again, thank you for our matching challenge last month. You put us over the top. We appreciate it. Back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. We have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast. So we have ongoing litigation against the State Department. I'm going to show you how it started. This is a copy of a letter that we sent, a Freedom of Information Act request that we sent to the State Department about a group called One Voice. This is One Voice Israel, One Voice Palestine, supposed to be a nonpartisan group that was going to talk about public participation in electoral process, but not partisan. In fact, the State Department, in response early on when Senator Cruz raised this issue, the State Department sent out a letter saying to Senator Cruz, let us first assure you that there's absolutely no basis to the claim that the Department of State has funded efforts to influence the current Israeli election. That was dated February 23rd, 2015. So they denied it. We ended up filing a suit to get documents. I'm holding that in my hand right here. This is the litigation that we filed in federal court, and we started getting documents. Now, in the document that have been produced, one of them is the actual strategic plan that One Voice put in place. This is dated on September 30, 2014. The letter to Senator Cruz was dated February 23rd, 2015. This is about 4 months before. So this is the basis upon which the grant application was approved. The State Department sends out a denial that had nothing to do with electioneering. Let me read you from the document. These, again, that's why you go to court and that's why you get these documents. Based on the 2013 national election independent poll and other polling data, we have reviewed in preparation for this strategy. The so-called center-left has a credibility problems. Israelis don't trust it to lead the country. The bloc has not been able to unify around a common message, a common agenda, or a strong leader. Our aim is to strengthen the bloc rather than one party. In tandem, weaken Netanyahu. That's the words they use. Weaken Netanyahu and his right-wing partners by creating a rationale for a change in direction. We can embolden the leaders of the left to get their act together. So while they're saying this has nothing to do with electioneering, completely false, as is the statement that was made to Senator Cruz from the State Department explaining the grant to One Life. Now, we're in federal court on that right now, dealing with the issue. And here's how it goes down. We are getting documents. As we get these documents, we're going to prepare a report, and that report is going to go right back to Capitol Hill and stop this funding. And maybe there's a way to get it back. I don't know what the process would be for that. Then generally, it would be stopping it moving forward. Do we know if there's a One Voice grant application in currently?
There certainly could be, Jay. We wouldn't have any way of knowing that. That's part of what we're after, to know what applications are out there pending.
So
and let me put it to you this way.
Yeah, we can find that out in our FOIA case, right.
Absolutely. But in this case, what happened is they took the taxpayer dollars, they built the campaign apparatus, then they stopped taking the funds, and they used that campaign apparatus that U.S. taxpayers had paid to build, and they used it to try to unseat the prime minister. And meanwhile, Jay, they lied to Congress about it. I mean, that's what's new today. What is new today is we have our hands on the letter that tells Senator Cruz and Congressman Zeldin that there is no basis to claims that the State Department had funded efforts to influence the current Israeli election. Jay, that is just patently false. It has taken a couple of years to prove it. But I got to tell you, we don't have time to get into all of them today. There are other examples of this abuse taking place. We're in the early stages of uncovering them. This is why you engage. You have to root this out so that the people responsible, Jay, no longer serve inside our bureaucracy.
In its response letter, the Obama State Department provided its assurances that there is, quote, absolutely no basis to the claims that the Department of State has funded efforts to influence the current Israeli election campaign. That simply was not true. You call it a lie, call it a false statement, call it a misleading statement, whatever. Not true. That was not correct. That was not true. Wes Smith, senior analyst on military affairs at the ACLJ. What is your sense of this, Wes, as Colonel Smith, as we look at the now we have the responses. We know exactly what was going on here.
Right, right. Well, and the thing that concerns me is, are there still career State Department people at work in the State Department? And the answer is yes. The answer is absolutely yes. But yeah, they not only broke the law, they not only lied to Congress about what they were doing with the funds, they're deceiving the American people. And it's the American people to whom they're ultimately responsible. It's a breach of trust, Jay.
All right. We're taking your calls when we come back from the break. Right, Logan?
That's right. We'll take as many calls as we can in this half hour. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air. Got a couple lines open right now. During this break, we're going to play an exclusive video made by our video team each and every day. Every morning, they make a video just for those watching online. So you get to see that always in this break. So if you're listening, you can tune on over to Facebook Live, Twitter, Periscope, ACLJ.org. Broadcasting live on all those outlets where you can not only hear us, but see us. Again, we either continue the conversation or play exclusive videos made just for you. Take a look.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So in its response to the State Department to a letter to Ted Cruz from Ted Cruz about funding an anti-Israel group, again, I'm going to say it, there's absolutely no basis to the claims that the State Department has funded efforts to influence the current Israeli election campaign. That's just simply not true. And I told you what we found in our documents is that this group said their aim is to strengthen the bloc, the left-wing bloc, rather than one party, in tandem weaken the Netanyahu and his right-wing partner. So Skip Ash does a lot of work for us in Israel, works with our closely with our office in Jerusalem. Give me your reaction to this, Skip. Again, I think it's not only a misuse of State Department funds, but it showed a fundamental bias that was in place in the previous administration State Department.
Absolutely. We have to recognize that there is a feeling afoot that the State Department has been basically anti-Israel. It's more pro-Arab than it is pro-Israel, and I think this is just an indication of that, so that when we have employees, longtime employees of the State Department, this is a natural thing to do. And when the administration also espouses those things, the Obama administration, it was no big deal to do that. People have really been upset about Prime Minister Netanyahu standing up for the interests of Israel. And we need to recognize that he is standing up. It's a tiny country. It's surrounded by bad neighbors. And he's trying to defend his people. And Mr. Obama was willing to give up territory, do all this type of stuff to get a peace agreement so he could have international recognition for himself without recognizing the dire needs of Israel to defend itself. And I think this is absolutely outrageous what happened. And I agree with everyone who said this. We need to ferret out those people who were involved in the decision making. If they're still there, they need to be gone.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call, Logan.
All right, Lynette in Long Island, you're on the air.
I got to ask, though, Lynette, since she's calling from Long Island, which is my kind of hometown because I was born in Brooklyn but grew up on Long Island, Nassau or Suffolk County?
I live in Suffolk. I work in Nassau, and I was born in Brooklyn.
There you go. I'm not going to ask you what hospital, but because I was born at my mommy's, but that's because I was born a long time ago. All right, go ahead with your question, Long Islander.
Well, we're the same age, so yep. God bless you.
Yeah, there we go.
And more specifically, God bless you for actually providing real news. My concern with all that is being discussed is that I remember in visiting the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., that there was a specific edict issued right after World War II that specifically targeted hate speech that would be insightful to toward future Holocaust or future attempts at Holocaust. Anything stating such as
so that was
well,
passed in Germany. There was in Germany they passed a statute that basically you could not support the Nazis and condone what they did. That wasn't a global legal decision. But what you're hearing out of Mahmoud Abbas, Harry, what you're hearing out of the leadership of the Palestinian Authority is the same thing you've been hearing since the conflict began, or you could go all the way back to the Bible. Nothing has changed.
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, if you look at things from the Palestinian perspective, they see Jews and the Jewish nation as the source of all of their problems, rather than the misrule and the corruption that plagues the Palestinian Authority and many of the surrounding Arab states. So rather than clean up their own act, they focus all of their attention externally.
Yeah.
This keeps them in power, and this keeps them the head of an apparatus that provides them with millions and millions of dollars, if not billions, from the United States, from the United Nations, from the European community. Meantime, the plight of the Palestinians continues to worsen.
So let me ask you this, Than. Yeah, because their question is, we still give the Palestinian Authority a lot of money. So how does that play into this?
Well, I think it ties in directly to what Lynette was just asking, and I think there's a silver lining here. I mean, obviously, Abbas's statements are disgusting. They're despicable. There is no excuse for them. But, Jay, here's what it does. It clearly ends the fantasy that there's any daylight between Hamas and Fatah. I mean, that fantasy is over. But I have to tell you, it has existed for a long time inside the United States government. There has been this sentiment that we need to block funding from Hamas because they're a terrorist organization, and we need to keep funding the Palestinian Authority as it's led by Fatah, even though there's a unity government here, Jay. These comments by Mahmoud Abbas, if they do not convince the United States Congress that the unity government as a whole has to stop receiving about $400 million a year from the United States, then nothing will. So the silver lining here, Jay, it ends the fantasy that there's daylight between Hamas and Fatah. They are, in essence, Jay, the same thing.
Yeah, I think that, look, I think here's what we have, and that is you look at the reality of what's happening on the ground, Skip, and you've been studying this tension point for a long time. You've been to Israel a lot, as I have. This tension point is losing support, though, within the other Arab leaders. I mean, the other countries are actually allies. I mean, you got Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, that are and some of the Gulf states that are working very closely with Israel. Who would have thought that years ago? And the Palestinian Authority has this intransigent kind of view of how they're going to do things, and they're not getting that support in the Arab world anymore at all.
You're exactly right. We have to recognize that Fatah and Hamas are two sides of the same coin. Fatah is the secular side, Hamas is the religious side, and they have very little that separates them. They fundamentally agree that Israel has to go. The Fatah says it a little bit more nuanced than Hamas does, but their ultimate goal is to destroy Israel and have it leave. But what has happened now is the rise of Shia Islam in Iran has really united the Sunnis, has really freaked them out, and now they're realizing that the real enemy in the Middle East is not Israel. It's a rising Iran which seeks to dominate the entire region. So I think what's happening now is the Sunni Muslims are finally having enough of the Palestinians is saying, stop stirring up the strife. You've had opportunities to have this settled. You have rejected them. Now take it or leave it, but you're losing our support.
Your colleague Wes Smith is in the studio here with us, and he's just shaking his head, so I'll just go right to Wes on this.
It is so true.
Military guy to military guy.
It is so true. Iran and the Palestinian leadership are disenfranchising themselves from their traditional allies. They are shooting themselves in the foot, which is not bad for the world. But when you look at what they're doing, the corruption in the Palestinian leadership, the Palestinian people are suffering. And it's unconscionable to think, as we were discussing earlier, that the previous administration in the United States sought to undermine a free and fair election in the only democracy in the Middle East, and our main ally there, Israel. It's just unbelievable. Truth truly is stranger than fiction. Concerning Abbas's statements, though, I think his statements should take the veil off the eyes of our allies in Europe, some of whom voted against Israel in the United Nations because they lived through the Holocaust, and yet here is this group of people that they are supporting who are basically Holocaust deniers.
Yep. Let's go ahead and take calls at 1-800-684-3110. Got some lines open.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and take one call. And then if you want to call us, 1-800-684-3110.
Also, Lisa said, nothing by the previous administration surprises me anymore. And Sandra followed up with, but what will be done about it?
Well, the concern that we have is that you've got people that are there within the State Department that are problematic to begin with. Because, I mean, Harry, you and I have talked about this a lot. So you've got this entrenched bureaucracy there that could still carry on these policies despite leadership. So that's why you got to bring these lawsuits and find out what is actually going on.
Absolutely. And so many of those individuals, they have a particular worldview which is not shared by most American people. They see themselves as citizens of the world. And as citizens of the world, what attracts them, what attracts their attention, is the claim of grievance. And clearly, in the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis, they see the Palestinians in a favorable light. So therefore, they are prepared to focus their efforts and attention and resources on helping individuals that lean toward the left.
So,
including One Voice.
Yeah. So, you know, Than, this is problematic of other funding that we do with the United Nations and other cases we've brought against this.
Yeah, I mean, I think our listeners will remember that this administration under President Trump have sought to pull back funding from the UN Relief and Works Agency, which, you know, purportedly provides funding to 5 million Palestinian refugees. Jay, there is a 2015 report that Congress commissioned that by all accounts says that the number of refugees is dramatically lower than the State Department has said it is. Jay, we have a lawsuit going on that we haven't even talked about today that is seeking to get our hands on that report because it will undermine exactly what the State Department has said for that funding. There are so many funding tentacles, Jay, here. We got a lot of work ahead of us to pull all of them out.
And we've got 1 minute left until our next segment starts. So here's what we're going to do. We've got cleared a bunch of lines out for you. So we want to take your calls on this last segment. You can ask us anything about this topic, other things as well. 1-800-684-3110. Also, people need to stay engaged with us on our social media platforms, which continue to grow.
That's right. You can join us on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, Instagram. You can follow you. You can be part of the community that way by getting your comments in. Know that if you put a comment in during our Facebook live show, someone on our social media team reads them. Some of them make them on the air. Some don't, but your voice is being heard. Again, that's at our Facebook live feed, which you can find on the Jay Sekulow verified page, as well as the Twitter verified page for Jay Sekulow. And
Verified.
So you can see the little blue check. So people know it's actually you.
Oh.
Not a parody account.
Do people parody me?
Well, let's not give them any promotion.
Okay. All right, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We come back, so give us a call. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110 here in the last segment. Carolyn on Facebook writes, I find it pretty scary that One Voice has a presence on U.S. college campuses.
Yes, sir. So One Voice on Campus is actually active on 23 campuses across Midwest, Mid-Atlantic, New England, and Northeast regions. Their aim is to cultivate and train a team of engaged students throughout the country capable of harnessing the energy on campus to advocate for an end to the Israeli occupation.
Yeah, so they're very nonpartisan. End the Israeli occupation. By the way, you put that with the BDS groups out there, Skip, and it kind of tells you what you got. We've defended Jewish, no, it's been Christian students too that have supported for Israel and been harassed on campus. But this is all part of that BDS kind of movement, the Israeli occupation. They start using the terminology to try to delegitimize the Jewish state.
Absolutely. This is a form of lawfare. What they're trying to do is they're trying to resurrect the concept of colonialism. Nobody likes colonialism anymore, so that's why they're beginning to describe and continuing to describe Israel as a colonial transplant from Europe into the Middle East. So they're trying to delegitimize the state of Israel, not taking into account the 3,000-year history of the Jews in the region. And this is just, it's amazing that a guy named Abbas can get up there and say there's no tie between the Jews and Jerusalem or the Jews and Israel. It is just nonsense. For him to believe that tells me that, and for Europeans to support that tells me that we are really in deep trouble with people who cannot determine and cannot discern truth from fiction.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's grab a call.
Kim in Houston, Texas, you're on the air.
Hey, Kim.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my
sure.
call. My question is, with all the years of our support of Israel, why was the Obama administration so against the Israel government?
So that's a great question, and because there was a noticeable change, Harry, from a policy perspective in previous administrations, including in previous Democratic administrations. I mean, Bill Clinton had a very pro-Israel view, tried to broker peace. But the Obama administration, the hostility level seemed to be at a different proportion.
Absolutely. So there may indeed be two reasons. First, the Obama administration essentially believes that Israel is an illegal occupier, that it is an oppressive regime. Secondarily, the Obama administration had the long-term goal of reaching some type of an agreement with Iran. And so one way of currying favor with Iran, at least in my opinion, is to come out strongly against Israel. And keep in mind, Iran sees Israel as one of its long-term enemies.
Well, I'll tell you what I think we have to realize is that there was a shift, and now there's another shift. And you've got an administration now that's very pro-Israel. But they're going to drive, look, they're going to, the Israelis are going to get, look, it's the art of the deal president. He's going to push the Israelis, too, to try to get this resolved. But I think moving the, moving to Jerusalem, moving our embassy recognition to Jerusalem is an historic day. Let me tell you, I can't tell you how I'm excited about that. Something we've been talking about and working on for 3 decades. And we have an office in Jerusalem, haven't had one there a long time. We got a great team there. A former ambassador, Rami Levy, heads up our governmental affairs. David Benjamin, a colonel in the Israeli Defense Force, heads up our legal and international law group that deal with law of war and armed conflict in Israel. I mean, we got a great, great team there. And I'm looking forward to being there. And this is going to be an incredible celebration of what's going to be happening. Let me ask this to Wes, and I want to get Skip and Than on this too. I think what Harry said is right. I mean, but you're now seeing a shift the other way. So the Palestinian Authority has to be aware that, in essence, there's a new sheriff in town.
Absolutely, there is. You know, the Obama administration shared with academia and the Hollywood elites this monolithic worldview, which bought into the victim mentality of the Palestinians and the illegitimacy of the state of Israel. And that is not the view of most American people. And I think that's borne out by this administration, and is certainly not the view of the administration as well, that, that we're not buying into that narrative any longer. And you mentioned the U.S. moving our embassy to the eternal capital of Jerusalem. I think that although we're not hearing too much about it now other than Guatemala, that as this next year or two rolls by, I think we will see more and more countries also moving their embassies to the capital.
Well, Guatemala is following that. I think Guatemala is doing it later that week. I think like the 17th or 18th. So that that's exciting to in different aspects of the world hitting it. Let's kind of, as we're closing up this segment here, let's talk about our action plan of what we see happening and what we're going to do.
Well, look, I think it starts with the narrative that you just laid out with Skip. It's crystal clear where the president is on this. I mean, he has taken an action that was required by the Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1995. It was supposed to be done by 1999. He is finally doing it. So the leadership of the country is in the right place, Jay. What we are going to do is work very hard to make the make sure the apparatus of the bureaucracies follows through with that agenda. And let me be very, very specific here, because if Julia Frifield, the Assistant Secretary for Legislative Affairs, can assert to the Congress that there is no basis to claims that the Department of State has funded efforts to influence the current Israeli election, when we know for a fact that is not true, here's what we want, Jay. We want to know who read the application that included the strategic plan that they were going to do exactly that, intervene in an Israeli election, and still authorize the use of U.S. taxpayer dollars to flow to One Voice. We want to know who approved that application and whether or not they are still at the State Department. Because, Jay, think about this. Think about how scary this is. One Voice might have another application depending at the State Department right now. It might be on the very same desk of the very same employee that approved this application. We want to make sure we find out who that is before that authorization is made.
Let me ask this to Skip. You're going over there in just a few days, and this is for a big, you participate in a very significant security conference. What sense did you have last time you go, and what are you expecting this time?
Well, I think last time I went, everybody was really excited about the election of Donald Trump. And I think now this is going to be confirmed. A lot of the, as we're talking about what they're going to be discussing, they're talking about a new tone in the Middle East. They're talking about changes in policies. They're talking about how the Arabs, the Sunni Arabs, seem to be becoming more friendly and recognizing the role that is the positive role Israel can play, even within Arab politics. They're recognizing the danger of the Iranians. So it's exactly what we're talking about. And we're getting people, they bring in people from around the world, not just Israel, but around the world to discuss these things. And it's absolutely an important and a very interesting topic that we entertain there.
No question. Let me say this in closing. I want our audience to know this. This is, look, we have an office in Jerusalem. I've had an office in Jerusalem for a long time. It's very significant for our work. We continue to do that. Skip's heading over there. I'm going to be over there. We're overlapping. We've got a staff there. I mean, it's a fully functioning office that allows us to engage on so many levels. They're our most important ally in the region, and we cannot forget that. And I'm glad that Egypt and Jordan and Saudi Arabia are now working with the Israelis. That's historic. I'm glad that some of the Gulf states are also joining in that. That is also historic. The fact of the matter is there's a common enemy. That enemy is Iran. We talked about Iran earlier in the week, but this is an historic move. But I want you to know from our work here that we're able to uncover this kind of information, get this kind of information out, because of our work here, starting with a letter, ending up in federal court, ending up with responses. And those responses have literally just started. So these are ongoing cases. We have, I think we calculated the other day, 50 open files on this right now, and maybe a dozen or more or close to it in litigation. Or certainly there will be a dozen in litigation in the next months ahead. But that's what's going on here at the American Center for Law and Justice and literally our affiliates around the globe. That's going to do it for the broadcast. Logan's letting you stay engaged with us on a whole host of ways.
That's right. You can be involved a lot of different ways. ACLJ.org has all the news and blogs and new information each and every day we post. Make sure you're visiting ACLJ.org as many times as you can throughout the day. Also, follow us on all social media on Twitter, Periscope, Facebook, Instagram. You can find us anywhere you have social media, any of all social networks. You can find us there. Just search for ACLJ or Jay Sekulow. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. We have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.